You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mission failed. We'll get him next time. Mission failed. We'll get him next time.
McGregor, Moy, Hatate beyond him. It's Hatate across. Thiago again. A double-double in the final for Thiago.
Mission failed. We'll get him next time. Mission failed. We'll get him next time.
Quickly taken. And O'Reilly runs into Raska. It will come to Maeda though. Everyone else stop. Let's shoot there! Rangers caught sleeping.
Mission failed. We'll get him next time.
Hello and welcome to episode 166 of GigPod, the Glasgow is Green podcast. I'm your host, Reedzo, and I'm joined by Spunkphone. How you doing, mate, after this exciting Celtic weekend?
Delicate would be the word, John. That's where I am today. Obviously, you know already, there'll be a few listeners who knew as well that I was in Dublin over the weekend. Suffice to say, I drank my body weight in Guinness and thoroughly enjoyed the game yesterday. And a pub recommended by a good self, so a big shout out to the James Connolly over in Dublin. Enjoyed myself thoroughly over there. Cracking atmosphere. And you obviously watched the game in the pub yourself as well, John.
I did. I watched it with our dear leader and an unnamed individual who will remain nameless. We watched it in O'Neill's and it was a fairly good atmosphere. Thankfully, the guy stopped playing acoustic guitar in time for the game to start. Although there was a guy like playing Celtic tunes, like during halftime and stuff, so tragically we couldn't hear what the likes of Martin O'Neill and Brian Laudrup were saying, and I didn't even realise that Willie Collin was in the referee until like 20 minutes in, so that was a weird one. But of course, as everybody knows, we did beat Rangers 1-0. We're in the Scottish Cup final against Inverness, who we've got some. Interesting Scottish Cup encounters in the past against them. We'll be out for revenge against them. We'll talk about that more later. And of course, we'll talk about the pubs we went to more later as well. That's obviously the most important part of the day. But let's talk about the game. We'll talk about the team that the manager selected. As everybody that listens to the preview knows, we were talking an awful lot about if Rio Hatate would come back and Jota. We didn't know yet because we recorded that podcast before Ange's press conference. Ange came out and said everybody was fit. That might not have been technically true because Lila Bada wasn't on the bench again. So that's quite interesting. I mean, I hope he's back at some stage before the end of the season, but it is interesting that Ange said everybody's fit and he wasn't about. But Ryo Hatate was back and Jota was back. And I'd have to say Spunk Phone out of those two players. We'll talk about the like all the performances in a bit. But I think that Jota was, I'd say, fitter than Ryo Hatate. I don't think Ryo Hatate is really fit enough yet. I think he's still got a bit more to go before Jota. And out of the two players, Jota, I think, had a much bigger impact in the game than Ryo Hatate did.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. I was pleasantly surprised, I must say, to see both their names on the team sheet. I know we'd obviously talked about in the pre-brief about, you know, the injury concerns, the worries, and given the fact that Hatate hadn't featured for a much longer period than Jota, you know, we were pretty doubtful that he would play any real part in the game. But if he was fit, which, yeah, I do agree, he looked maybe a yard or two off it a little bit, like when Aaron Moy played in the 3-2 game at Celtic Park. I think he was just a yard or two off and maybe rushed back, if you like, but still did well to get 60 minutes out of him. But Jota was definitely, I mean, he was, along with Carter Vickers, who will, you know, rave about later on, the real standout with the impact he had in the game.
And the rest of the team was, as you would expect, the usual Celtic lineup. It was probably our strongest team, really, I'd say. And like all the Rangers players that had been doubts, the likes of Goldson and Kent, Raskin, there was rumours about him, they all started. So really, it was maybe both sides at their strongest, unless there's some players that I'm missing out. So the game started, interestingly, because both sets of fans had let off sort of flare-type things. So for the first like 5 minutes of the game, you couldn't really see what was happening on the TV because there was so much smoke. And I think the first chance of the game went to Rangers. I think Raskin had a shot just past the post. But it was really hard to tell what was happening because of the smoke that delayed the kick-off by a couple of minutes. And I think Don Robertson, who replaced Willie Colum, who got injured unbelievably enough in the warm-up. And I don't think Don Robertson had the best of games, but I mean, Willie Colum made him even worse. But, I mean, the start of the game was interesting, not just because of the smoke, but, I mean, we started it quite slowly, and I know we'll talk about the performance more overall, but, I mean, before the game, our dear leader said to me he was calm, he didn't have any doubts that we would win, and I thought we'd win as well, but, and so did you, in fact, if we'd look at the predictions for the other day, but I was slightly surprised that we seemed to start quite slowly. I know that Michael Beale had said before the game that Rangers were going to go for it, and, I mean, really, it was their last meaningful game of the season. Were you surprised by how we started and that Rangers sort of took the game to us?
Not overly so, because you say then it was kind of the last thing they had to play for. There's been a big deal obviously made of how Celtic starting these games, how Rangers have started in them, standing off, being a bit passive, that sort of thing. So they were obviously going to try and get at us from the off. As you said, that shot Raskin had early on, which I think was Carter Vickers that had blocked it, I could not see a thing. I mean, the smoke was bad enough obviously, but being kind of three or four rows back as well in the pub watching it, everyone kind of standing heads in front of you, in front of the TV. It wasn't great for the first 5-10 minutes, I'm going to be honest. I did panic a bit sort of every time the ball was in our half. But I wasn't really surprised, I said. I thought Rangers would try and obviously start on the front foot, and to be fair, they did that for all of sort of 5-10 minutes at the start with that Raskin opportunity.
I mean, after that, the game sort of settled into a midfield battle. I don't really think there was that many chances, unless I've completely lost the plot, and I might have after how much booze I was drinking yesterday, right, lads? Unless I've lost the plot, I can't really think of any major chances that either side created. It was a tough game. I mean, the first half was a bit of a dour battle. I mean, the first chance really we had was an Alistair Johnson shot. It was about nearly half an hour in, and it was a pretty easy save for McGregor. We didn't really create that many chances in the first half. But we need to talk about the goal that came in the 39th minute, and I do think it might be the funniest goal we've scored against Rangers this season, and there's a few candidates. There's David Tumble's one in the 4-0 game when John McLaughlin passed it right to him. There's Jota's goal in the 3-2 win when they get the ball passed to him by a suitor, and Al McGregor was too slow to get it. But this one I think was the funniest because it's just the mark. Every Rangers player stopped. If nobody's seen it, and I'm sure they all have, but if you've no, I'll just briefly go through it. Raskin thought he'd committed a foul, which obviously Don Robertson didn't give. He just stopped. Everybody else just stopped. The only player that didn't stop was Dyson, who was a very alert, put a brilliant cross in, and then Rangers' great captain, Tav, let Jota completely run free at the back post, and Jota scored the easiest of headers for a couple of yards out, giving McGregor no chance. It was a great time to score, 1-0 up before half time. And I think that might be the funniest goal we've scored against Rangers this season. What were they thinking? It was just mind blowing.
I don't know what they were thinking, John. I really don't. As you say, there's a few candidates this season for funny goals against them or goals exactly like that. It seems to be almost every goal we score against them these days is their players stopping and us taking full advantage of it. That is the cliche, but we never stop. Rangers did. I don't know how it wasn't a foul in the first instance, to be honest with you. Don Robertson, as you say, I don't think he had a very good game. He had the one on Tillman on Taylor, I think, before it, he let go. Same again with that one. Both of them are just blatant fouls and probably yellow cards as well. As much as Raskin kind of has his hands up in the air to say, you know, I've not touched him or I've took the ball, I think his teammates were kind of looking around expecting the referee to blow the whistle, and also just not taking responsibility and not dealing with it. But I say there's been plenty of goals this season. You listed off some of the funny ones there. I think back to the 4-0 game as well, where we take a quick throw-in, score because they just switch off. We had a quick free kick for the Jota goal in that game as well. They switch off, and again, we just take full advantage of it, and that was another instance of it. It was a quick free kick as well from McGregor into O'Reilly before he was taken out. But see, I can't believe that wasn't a foul, but see, it worked out well for us in the end. Dyson, I didn't think it was his best game yesterday, to be honest, but it was just kind of one real moment of quality. Does well, obviously, just take that first touch out his feet, hangs it up to the back post. Jota, completely unmarked after getting away from that wonderful, wonderful leader, Tav, at the back post. Couldn't really miss. He'd had, obviously, the opportunity, to be fair, a couple of minutes before where he was at the other back post, the ball had came to him, and he kind of just let it roll under him, never actually got a firm touch on it. But he done well to shake that off and, you know, be the main man, come up with a big impact and a big goal in one of these games again, which has become the real trademark of his.
Yep, it was a very funny goal, and it couldn't have happened to a better team. So 1-0 Celtic at half-time, which was like perfect for us, and I was hoping that second half we would kick on, maybe get a second goal. It didn't really happen. And I don't think we really played well at all second half. I can really only think of one clear-cut opportunity, and it was a good move. And it ended up with a low shot by Kyogo, which was a decent save by McGregor. I don't think it was ever going to beat him at the post. And I really don't think we played that well at all. The thing is, we really restricted Rangers to fewer chances. Really, the best chance they had was when Tav, the captain, hit the post. And then for the second game at Hampden in a row, Fashion Sakala somehow managed to miss an open goal. Just surreal that he's missed it two games against us at Hampden in a row where they put the ball into the side netting. But really, I mean, even though Rangers put us under pressure, that was really their best chance. The only other one they had was a brief scramble in the box, and the ball was eventually cleared by our man in the match, CCV. And we're going to have to talk about him. He is just remarkably good. We'll talk a wee bit later about how he's not playing again this season because after the game Ange said that he's getting this knee operation, which means he'll miss the cup final, he'll miss the possible title clincher at Tynecastle, he'll miss Ibrox, he'll miss us getting the league trophy on the final day against Aberdeen. But how good was he? I mean, I know they've not announced the player of the year yet, and I was thinking it might be Kyogo or maybe even McGregor because he's so consistent. But Carter Vickers was just unbelievable. He is so good, and people might say, oh, it's okay, we're only playing Inverness in the cup final. None of the league games really matter that much, and they don't really, apart from when we win the league. But he'll still be a miss because he is so, so good. He's the best Celtic defender I think the club's had in years, and we're so lucky that we managed to sign him at the start of the season. And that's 6 million, I think it was. I think eventually got up to 10 million if you count, like, or the other parts of the deal, but that's money well spent because he is fantastic.
Yeah, he was absolutely phenomenal yesterday. You mentioned, obviously, the fact he's going for that knee op. I mean, that was him when he wasn't fully fit, and he's not been fully fit for a few weeks now. He's been playing through the pain barrier and has been as good as ever. He's been absolutely outstanding. See, I think he's right up there in terms of the reckoning for player of the year, not just at Celtic, but in Scotland as well. He's been absolutely outstanding since he's came to the club. Starfelt, I thought, had a great game yesterday as well, by the way, and the two of them together as a partnership are brilliant, but I can't have it because he's another level. As you said, there's only obviously six games to go now. We're one win away for winning the title. The cup final is obviously against lower league opposition, as much as we'll obviously show them respect, and I've no doubt that Ange and the players will as well, but he'll still be a miss. The only positive I can think is obviously Kobayashi's found it a bit hard to get game time, purely on account of how good a partnership the two of them are together. He's obviously found it difficult to get a place in the team, so hopefully he can get a run of minutes now. Starfelt can maybe play on that right-hand side, which I think he does prefer, albeit he does a brilliant job on the left-hand side of the defence as well, but just phenomenal again yesterday. Man of the match by a country mile. I know he was the man of the match, but it was well deserved. He was outstanding.
Yeah, he really was absolutely brilliant. He is such a complete player, and I just fear that because he's done so well with us, that teams down in England all take notice, and I wouldn't shock me if eventually he leaves and we get a big money deal for him, which will be a right pain. But that just, I think, we'll need used to that with a Celtic squad. And if we keep up, but then I'd have my doubts if we'll bring in the replacement as good as CCV, because he was brilliant. Another player that I thought done well was Alistair Johnson, who I think might also be out for the season. I thought he played excellent. He didn't give Ryan Kent a kick of the ball. Kent ended up getting took off at half time. And then in the second half, him and Borna Barisic were in for a... Let's just say they both didn't give any quarter, as they would say. And they both ended up getting injured in the challenge. And Johnson was though back on the pitch with his foot in a boot. And he was waving his crutches about in there in a celebration. But I would be surprised if he played again this season. I thought Anthony Ralston, the much maligned Anthony Ralston, who hasn't played for weeks, did well when he came on. And I'll be interested to see what happens with Ralston and AJ. But I thought Johnson played well yesterday. He's been a great signing. I thought he wasn't, even though he got man of the match in the 3-2 win a couple of weeks ago, I didn't think that was his best game for us. And I think he was to blame for the Rangers setting goal that day. But I thought he was excellent.
I'd agree with everything you've said there. I think he's kind of thrown in at the deep end, I feel like, when he came in. And obviously his first start for Celtic, albeit he'd been sort of training with us for a couple of weeks, but was at Ibrox. And to be fair, he's not let us down really in any of these games since. I would agree that I think he switched off for that goal in the 3-2 game. But again, just outstanding. I mean, to stand up and be counted, he's obviously came into the club mid-season, but he's been phenomenal. It's been a completely seamless transition. People were obviously worried. Well, the speculation prior to the World Cup and then during the World Cup about losing Juranovic, but we've no missed him, and it's credit to Alistair Johnson. I'd be surprised as well if we do assume again this season. We'll see, obviously, what the extent is with regards to that injury. But to be fair, Tony Ralston's been on the sidelines for a lot this season. He's had obviously his own injury problems, and then just found it difficult to get into the team, particularly since Alistair Johnson obviously signed back in December, so he'll get a run of games now, I suppose. I thought he was pretty solid yesterday, and he's one of those players I think you can always kind of count upon. He's developed into being a really solid squad player for Celtic, which, you know, nobody 2 years ago would have been sitting there thinking that there was any chance of that happening. I think he only played once or twice in the COVID season. So it's a good turnaround in Celtic career. As I say, it's a good opportunity for him in the next 5-6 games if Alistair Johnson's injured, but he'll be missed as well, along with Carter Vickers, because the two of them have just been terrific for us.
And of course, if need be, we can play Rio Hatate right back, because of course, as everybody remembers, the only game he played at right back for Celtic, he scored twice against St Johnson. So who knows, we might see that before the end of the season. And one other player that I want to give a shout out to is Aaron Moy, because we've been critical of him in the pod the last few weeks. His performances weren't up to his level but pre-injury. But I thought when he came on yesterday, I thought he was excellent. He helped us control the midfield. And he was on the way to going back to the Aaron Moy that we know and love for this season, the guy who was brilliant for months. And it'd be interesting to see what happens now. How much football he plays between now and the cup final, because, I mean, we only need one win. It'll be interesting to see the team that the manager puts out each week. So the final score, as everybody knows, was 1-0 to Celtic. We're in the cup final playing Inverness, who we'll be looking for revenge for, because I don't know if anybody knows this, but they actually have beat us in the Scottish Cup a couple of times, including in the year 2000. I don't know if anybody's heard about that. But I'm sure that'll be brought up about 700 zillion times between now and the cup final. But I think that, as you said, the manager will be treating Inverness with loads of respect, and I think the players will as well. I don't think they'll be looking at it as like a gimme, an easy win. I'm sure, like, obviously we're big favourites, and people probably be expecting us to beat them like 5-0 or something, like a comfortable win. I mean, it doesn't always work like that though, and I think that Ange and the players will be as professional as possible for this game, and I think they'll take it as seriously as they took yesterday in every other game they've played this season.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Ted, obviously I was over in Dublin for the weekend, so I never actually saw the Inverness game on the Saturday, which was a slight disappointment, to be honest, because I do always enjoy the Scottish Cup semi-final weekend. Obviously it's made all the better when Celtic win, but look, fans will get ahead of themselves. I'm trying not to, as much as it is a great opportunity for us, and obviously if you'd said at the start of the season one game to win a treble against Inverness aside for the championship, you'd have took it. But I don't have any worries that Ange and the players will be getting ahead of themselves. There's been so many points in this season, even in last season as well, where things maybe could have went ahead, or they could have maybe lost focus, but they've been totally relentless, and I've got no doubts in my mind, as much as we'll miss the likes of Carter Vickers and Johnston if he isn't fit, and you know, there'll be one or two who have to obviously step in and perform well in their place over the running. I've no doubts that the players who come in there will do a job, and that these same players have been so consistent and winning games of football over the course of the season, they'll have six more in them between now and the end of the season, and obviously that's going to be the big one now as we look to make a bit more history.
Right, so before we talk about the Hearts game, we'll have to talk about your adventures in Dublin. So let me guess what you were drinking. Guinness. And you can tell us what place you got your best Guinness. And this is actually our wonderful boss Stephen's idea. Tell the listeners the best place you got your best Guinness in. Your best Guinness in Dublin. Where was it that you got it?
As the weekend went on, I went to a number of boozers, obviously, because why would I go sightseeing and doing all that tourist stuff? I'm going over there to sit in the pub, John. So I went to all the kind of highest rated ones and kind of declared it as the inaugural World Cup of Guinness, because I've got right into stuff lately. I'd always been hearing for years it's so much better in Ireland, and everyone that told me that, they were spot on. They really were. I don't even know if I'll be able to drink it over here anymore. I think I've possibly ruined it for myself, to be honest. I'll give you the top three. Because I feel that they all had their own merits, and they all deserve a shout out in the pod. So coming in third place, I had the Gravediggers, also known as John Kavanagh's. It's a bit out the centre. I had to actually get a bus there. Anybody who's familiar with it will kind of know the setup, but really old school pub, opened I think the 1830s. Looks like it's not been done up inside since, which I really love. But it was a sunny enough day at that point, so I stood outside, had a couple of pints there. It was lovely, spot on. Renowned as being kind of possibly the best place in the world, a lot of people say, for Guinness, but as I say, it came in at third for me, but that's no slight on them, because it was still a good couple of pints I had in there. Second, I'd go with John Keogh's. That's more central. Again, a pretty renowned pub over there, one of the big dogs. Great pints in there, really thick, rich, creamy. I've got a couple of pictures. Stevie can maybe put them in the old Instagram account just for the listeners to get a visual aid here, because I'm not the best at describing it, but as I say, thick, rich, creamy pints, spot on. And then coming in at number one, the winner of the inaugural World Cup of Guinness is Bose on Fleet Street in Dublin. There's a wee plug for them there, because they looked after me very well on the Saturday, and I returned there on the Sunday night before my flight as well. I think I had something like 6 pints in 2 hours, which maybe isn't wise when you're flying, but you know, I got home, so I must have been all right. But honestly, John, the domage on those pints, people that drink Guinness will know about the domage. It was just spot on, and again, just so thick, filling. Not like the dross that you get over here, and I'm going to say that. I think I've ruined it for myself. I think I flew too close to the sun, John. I think I've peaked, but congratulations to Bose. I know the other pubs that participated. I may publish a full rankings, Stevie can maybe put out there, but if you're going anywhere in Dublin for a pint of Guinness, Bose would be my top recommendation.
Thank you for that, brother. A great segment. And well done to good old O'Neill's for having pints of Coors as well, which I was drinking yesterday. They were very enjoyable. And even, by the way, our hero did end up panning a wee bit in the second half. I forgot to mention our dear leader, Stevie. Even though he was calm throughout the game, he was slightly concerned second half. But we saw through it at the end. And now we've got next Sunday to possibly look forward to, where a win at Tynecastle against those wonderful guys' Hearts will see us win the league. for the second season in a row. It's an interesting kickoff time, 2:15 on Sunday, whilst Rangers are playing Aberdeen at Ibrox at 3:00, which is just, I don't know why we aren't just playing at the same time. It would make more sense, but Sky Sports must have their reasons. I'm not ranting about Sky Sports again. I did that last week. I did enough of that. So what do you think, Smokephone? Do you think we'll play the strongest team possible aside from CCV and Johnson? I suppose it depends on how everybody get through the semi-final. I mean, I would imagine if Rio Hatai get through it, he'll start. And it'll probably be the same team that started yesterday, apart from CCV and Johnson, I'd imagine.
I know there's this kind of running joke going about at the moment, probably because we did do something similar at Easter Road in 2017-18 season. We obviously went there, lost, and then played Rangers the following week at Celtic Park, beat them 5-0 to win the league. It wouldn't be the same, obviously, going to Ibrox and doing it without fans anyway. So to be honest, I just want to get it wrapped up as soon as possible. And I think, as the players think, you know, it'll be the same as well. So I fully expect to be our strongest team, obviously minus the one or two who we suspect will be missing with injury. But the consistency they've shown, the way they come through all these big games, big tests, I've no doubt that the players will be able to get the job over the line there. Next Sunday.
Yeah, I think it'll be a tough game. I mean, Hearts have still got the third place to play for. I know they're no favourites for that, Aberdeen favourites, but I mean they'll be up for it. They won't want us to win the league there. They've got that great guy, Stephen Naismith, managing them. I'm sure they'll be wound up. But an interesting game for Kobayashi, it'll be because I'm sure he'll play, but I've got faith in him that he'll be able to handle the test. I mean, he played 4 or 5 minutes at Tynecastle in the Scottish Cup game, as you remember. Starfield got took off at half time and we were 2-0 up, okay, but I thought him and CCV worked well. I'm sure him and Starfield will work well together. Anthony Ralston, I've got no qualms about him starting. He's seen it and done it a lot in the last couple of years at Celtic. Of course, he did score a brilliant goal at Tynecastle, a game which, of course, we did talk about after the game, which was just a catastrophe, but that was a brilliant goal. And I'm certain that not going to be a lot of Celtic fans here, I think 1,200, but they'll be wanting to have a party. And then I'm sure that if we do win the league, the fans will go back to Celtic Park. I don't know, even your podcast heroes might go to Celtic Park that day. So watch out for that. Who knows? Depends on what happens. And just like you, I mean, I just want to get the league won. If we're going to Ibrox and we had like 7,000 fans, or even 3,000 fans, and I'd be like, okay, I could see some merit in waiting to win there, but there's no fans. That game, I don't care what MDC is not really that important in the grand scheme of things. I don't even think Rangers fans, the ones that I know, are that bothered about it. They'll change their mind next week, I'm sure. But that game really is a known event. Just get the league won this weekend and we can have another party and then hopefully some more celebrations in the weeks to come, because that's what the Celtic team deserve. They've been brilliant this season and they deserve to celebrate, and hopefully next Sunday we'll all be doing a bit of celebrating, and there's no work on the Monday as well. Thank you, King Charles, great guy, for giving us the chance to get drunk next Sunday, hopefully. Or maybe not drunk, that's too much, of course. Right, so Spunkphone, what is your prediction for the game?
Prediction for the game at Tynecastle next Sunday. As much as you say it'll be a tough test and Hearts hadn't really been a good run of form recently. I know they obviously won their last game with the thrashed Ross County. So it will be tough, but I still feel like better players to go and get the job done. I'm going to say it'll be 3-1 to Celtic. I think missing Carter Vickers, Hearts will maybe fence their chances to at least get a goal. But I think we'll be sitting here this time next week, hopefully nowhere near as hungover as we are just now, John. And we'll be talking about another wonderful title win for Celtic.
You know what? I'm going for 3-1 as well. I think we might concede, but I think that we'll be out to get the game won quickly. I don't know if we'll score after 30 seconds like we did in the Cup at Tynecastle a couple months ago, but I think we'll be out to get the match done and done and dusted by half-time. Hearts obviously will be trying to stop that, but if this Celtic team, even without some big players, play it the way they can, we're more than capable of doing it. I'm going for 3-1. And if we do win, I think that'll be the... We won the league at Tynecastle in 2017 in Brendan Rodgers, who was at the game, the semi-final. Don't know if people saw that, but Brendan Rodgers was at the game. I saw a picture last night of him with a big cheesy grin with a thumbs up. So Brendan was at a game, and I mean, imagine if they got Brendan to present the trophy and we win the title. That'd be a great laugh, but I doubt it. Now, we won the league in 2017 at Tynecastle, and I think 2016, 2015, we won 3-1 there that all but clinched the league, I think, technically. So we've won the league at Tynecastle before. Hopefully we can do it again. And if we do, you'll get to hear us talk about it next week on GigPod. So, Spunkphone, thanks very much for coming on the show as usual, brother. Go and have a lie down to go over your hangover.
Thanks very much, John, and thanks to all the wonderful listeners for joining us. I can only apologise for my lack of professionalism, and I will try and be closer to full match fitness next Monday.
I suppose it depends if we win the league and we all go mad again. But obviously, we're too professional for that. We'll still do the podcast, whatever happens. Yep, so we'll be back next week after the Hearts game with a look at hope for the game, which clinches the league for Celtic. You can catch us on Instagram at GigPod. You can find us on all the usual podcast platforms. Leave us 5-star reviews, you know well by now. As I said, we'll be back next week after the Hearts game. Good luck to Celtic at Tynecastle. Get that title won. Make it 2 in a row. We'll speak to you all soon, and hail, hail.
Podcast Network.